Coming to you live from the curb on Hollywood Boulevard outside the Man Chinese Theater, it's This Week's Apocalypse. I am your co-host, Kevin Lenihan. With me, as always, is award aficionado and probably an award winner of some kind already, John Ferris. John, how are you doing today?
Brilliant. Brilliant. It's that time of the year again.
It's that time of the year, January.
Yes. It is the start of the new year, the time where we all make our arbitrary lists of nonsense.
Of dumb things, yes. Our stupid lists. Oh, we wouldn't be the sort to do that.
No.
But we have, so hooray!
I kind of like that our list for 2021 features maybe one movie that came out.
Maybe one movie that came out in 2021. Yeah, so this is not a list of the best movies of 2021 or the worst movies of 2021. It's the best movie we saw in 2021 and the worst movie we saw in 2021.
In relation to this podcast.
Directly in relation to this podcast. Yes. So, we came here to attend the Oscars and give out our own personal award, but it turns out that they don't do the Oscars on this particular day or in this particular theater. And also, everything's closed anyway. So, I got my picture taken with a Charlie Chaplin impersonator. And I guess that's our Hollywood adventure. It's not really much more to say. But, John, I want to get right into this.
Oh.
So.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, straight in, as they say. So, John, format-wise, I'm just going to straight up say things to you. And you're going to respond. And it's going to be grand, right?
Well...
Cool.
Okay, yeah.
Right, so, have you chosen, do you have nominees for best movie?
I mean, I kind of know what I'm going for, because, there's kind of three standout movies for me, in a sense, you know. They're obvious ones, because anyone who's heard me talk about them, I was gushing. Usually after a movie before, was like going, I didn't like the pacing, and I didn't like that character's mustache.
Yeah. Oh, it was a very threatening mustache.
I was offended. I think for me, my three would be Network, obviously.
Mm-hmm. So that one coming.
Yep. Holy Mountain.
Uh-huh.
Completely different side of the field there. And Cure.
Cure,
which was a surprising one for me. It's the only one I didn't know about prior to us watching,
and I was
blown away with Cure.
Cure from our Supernatural Serial Killers episode that we did. Yes,
I really enjoyed that movie, and it was a real treat. Like, especially, I didn't read anything about it. I think it was you suggested this one.
Yeah, it had been on, I had heard about it a few years ago, and never gotten around to watching it. Now, this is Cure from 1997.
Yeah.
This movie is from a Japanese film directed by Kiyoshi Kurosawa. No relation to Akira Kurosawa, which we established, which was one of the first things in his Wikipedia article that they mentioned.
Which is a bit weird.
Yeah, it was a fucking wonderful film. It was so just... Oh, it was a delight, and it was horrible. It was unnerving, but it was fucking so good to watch.
If anyone hasn't seen it at this point in the lesson, I would highly recommend it. Like, basically, because I don't even want to spoil that much, because it's just about this detective who's played amazingly well, and like all the characters are great, but this detective who's like looking into these murders that are really, really bizarre, and that like. They find the person who does it each time, physically, but there's always like this weird, they don't remember it or...
Yeah, they have amnesia, so it's like, it's a series of murders that just, they're all the same, as if it's a serial killer doing it, but they're all done by different people who are pretty much immediately apprehended, close by the scene. Yeah, not really remembering that they did it.
Yeah.
Or not knowing why they did it either.
And it's brilliant, and it's slow, and there's like, there's still scenes of it that like pop into my head now and then, and like it's disturbing in that way. That, I mean, the police guy, who kills his partner at one point. You know, there's this whole thing, and it's just done so matter-of-factly. It's like someone getting ready for work. There's no warning in it.
It seems like it's just another thing in his routine.
Yeah.
When he just does it, it's really messed up, but that's kind of the whole film. It feels like really normal stuff, and then something bizarre will come out of nowhere, and you'll be like shocked.
Yeah.
And we are gushing about this movie. I don't know. This isn't your number one, is it? This is just a sort of a... Are you not sure?
I'm kind of not sure. Like, well, let's just go through what would your kind of top three or maybe five be?
I have five written down here. So I went for The Void.
Okay.
Halloween.
Of course.
Ringu.
Yeah.
The Witch and the Holy Mountain as well also on my list.
Yeah.
Because that was so good to look at. That film is just so good to look at.
That's what I laugh. Like the kind of first two that I knew Network was gonna be on this. We watched that not long ago, and I've seen that a number of times now. And as we discussed, I love Sidney Lumet's work anyway.
Yeah.
But I loved kind of that my top two were Network and Holy Mountain, which like could not be more dissimilar. And like the directors are very, like they're polar opposites essentially.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've got one who's very like gritty and serious and like rooted in reality.
Yeah.
And then Sidney Lumet. Sidney Lumet, he always has his films like rooted very, very in that, and I love that thing. And I mean, parts of this even feel like a documentary. The start of it kind of feels almost too real, and as the movie progresses, it becomes more like even the way it's shot and everything, like becomes like a TV studio thing.
So
like
this is Network you're talking about here. Yeah. It's affecting.
Yeah.
Very, very affecting. It really affected me in a serious way. Especially like the end. I don't want to say what the end is.
Avoid spoilers
for these as much as possible, but just the way that film ends is so powerful and striking, and it's just masterful.
Yeah.
And grim and just like sort of, but it did. I kind of find myself laughing a little bit because I was like, I can't believe this is the end, but also how could it end any other way?
Yeah. Plus, just how everything is even more relevant that it touches on. Like,
it's
almost like a grim predictor of the future that we live in.
Yeah, that was the media. That was our media episode, and every single one of those films
was
weirdly prescient, where it was like, this feels even more relevant today than it did when it was made in either the 70s or the 80s.
Yeah.
You know, all three of the films that we did there. So, yeah, that was pretty serious. So, yeah, Network is fantastic. Wonderful.
But just, I'm just going to reiterate, like, I love the juxtaposition of that, and then us both having Holy Mountain. Because how do you describe Holy Mountain?
It's sort of about a messiah guy, but also he's got disciples and there's immortal. They're going to go kill the immortals or be immortals. Or then it just descends into this weird commentary on society and war and the military-industrial complex, and then also it isn't about that later. It's about religion, and then it's also about movies. It's about the fact that you're watching a movie, and also there's so much going on. And
there's kind of too much to grab. Like we mentioned when we covered it that we had both seen it prior to these viewings, but we were inebriated.
Indeed,
and that might have helped, to be honest. Because, like, I don't know. Like, every time you watch this movie, you're getting something new. You're getting you're always finding some added little thing that you maybe missed out the first time, or you're interpreting something entirely different. And it's so unique and so. I mean, Hodorowski himself's very unique, just the films that he makes. So
yeah,
But I don't know. Yeah, like it definitely deserves to be in the top three. It
deserves to
one.
Be considered 100%.
I would actually are we trying to make like a overall for the?
I think for we can this just week's each apocalypse. Have one, and it yeah. just if it happens to align, if we both happened to choose Holy Mountain, then I guess that would be the best movie. But I'm more leaning towards. I mean. Like the things, it should come as no surprise to you, at least, that yeah. four out of my five are all horror movies.
Yeah.
I mean, I did The Void, Halloween, Ringu, and The Witch, as well as The Holy Mountain. And like,
and they're all good movies.
They're all great
movies.
Yeah, I would say so, yeah. I mean, Ringu is a goddamn masterpiece. Still unnerves me when I see it.
Yeah.
The Void has some of the best physical effects, the best realized cosmic horror monsters
yeah.
that I think have ever been shown in a film
mm-hmm.
are in The Void. I mean, it just, like, they look disturbing the way they have been described in the books that have inspired them.
Yeah.
You know, they actually, you look at them and you're like, that actually makes me feel absolutely horrible inside. And I could see someone going crazy with being confronted with that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So that's hot. And it's fucking like just, I thought the script was really good in it too. I loved everything about that film. The Witch, or The Witch, or whatever. I have to keep saying Witch because it's written with the double V, but that's a goddamn masterpiece too. I mean, that's Robert Eggers. Who is a genius, it turns out. He's got another film coming out soon. I'm very excited to see.
Yes.
The Northman.
Yeah. Trailers just released there not long ago.
Yeah. Seems like it's going to involve a broader cast than he usually works with. Because he's usually working with... Well, the two films of his that I've seen and loved have been The Lighthouse and The Witch. And they both involve small numbers of people stuck together in remote locations.
Yeah.
And this film seems like it's not that.
No, it looks more like kind of a, I don't want to really say epic, but the big action scenes and things like that.
Yeah.
And actually Anna Taylor-Joy is going to be in that as well, who's wonderful in The Witch.
She's fantastic. She's our protagonist.
Yeah.
I would say it follows her almost exclusively throughout the film. It's sort of about her dealing with the family and how the family deals with her. And it's mainly about her interactions, and it's goddamn masterful. But I feel like I'm gonna pick Halloween.
Yeah.
Because I love it, and it's brilliant, and it's probably the film out of all these films, the one I saw first out of all these films, just in my life.
Yeah.
And it always stuck with me ever since I first saw Halloween. And it basically spawned a genre. It wasn't necessarily the first slasher movie, but it's the one that all the other ones that came after were like, we could throw something like that together.
And completely miss the point.
And maybe completely miss the point. But, you know, it did spawn this genre, which I have enjoyed.
Yeah, even its own sequels missed the point. So.
Yeah, absolutely. All of them except for maybe the one. There was that one that they annoyingly just called Halloween again, which was not bad.
Yeah,
it has had a subsequent sequel though that seems to have just made the mistake of all the other sequels to Halloween, which just baffling. Whenever the whole point of it existing was to sort of counter that, it seemed, and now they've just fallen into the same bullshit trap. So I feel like probably, I mean, Ringu, I know for like, one as well. But,
I know for a fact if we had covered The Thing, it would have been unquestionably your default. Number one. And
it's just my number one movie. I couldn't pick anything else over that. That would be a travesty.
Which is maybe good that we didn't go near it. We kind of actively avoided it, I think.
Yeah,
but Halloween's
a wee bit more of a challenge. But
Halloween's definitely a close second in that.
Yeah, I think Halloween's the one. But I do want to just give props to The Witch and The Void and Ringu. Ringu still kind of has
Ringu's
this one
fantastic.
Moment again in Ringu that just still gets me every goddamn time. And if you've seen it, you know what scene it is.
Yeah.
Every time it's like, oh my god, that still looks great and is so convincing and wow, that's happening. But I gotta pick Halloween, even though the Holy Mountain is
technically Ringu
gorgeous.
Kind of- spawned its own genre, and spawned its own genre, but definitely like popularized the J horror, which is indeed so fucking reductive.
It's a terrible term because they're all so different.
Yep.
You know, but like stuff like The Grudge and stuff, I probably wouldn't have seen The Grudge if Ringu hadn't made the impact that it did and made it possible for people to say, oh, here, you know, we should probably release these films in Europe and maybe America and stuff now because people seem to like this stuff. So here we go. And that Tartan Asia Extreme or whatever, which was always the distributor or whatever the hell it was always at the start of the videotapes whenever I would get them. It'd be Tartan Asia Extreme, and you'd be like, yes, brilliant! I want to see this! You know, that's how I came to see a bunch of other stuff, like Takeshi Kitano movies and other, like, a lot of Korean stuff started coming over then, and that was, I mean, you know, that was brilliant.
Yeah.
I mean, like, Park Chan-wook movies, they're goddamn masterpieces and yada, yada, yada. So yes, the Ringu, we have a lot to thank Ringu for, but Halloween's the one for me. Holy Mountain is gorgeous, it's beautiful, but Halloween's Halloween, you know? It's exactly the right length, and it's the score is great, it's simple, it does the job. It's a great masterclass in scaring people that a lot of people missed, the lessons from.
Yeah.
And just thought, oh, it's about stopping dudes. And you're like, it's not about that, though. It's about the looming threat and the unknowable, the impossible to understand killer.
It's about the lead up to stopping dudes.
Yeah, it's about everything before. It's like jazz. It's like everything but the stabbing. So yeah, that's mine. Are you able to settle on one?
I don't know. It's weird. Like, I suppose, realistically speaking, Network would win for me in the sense that it's the one I've seen a number of times, and I love it. But Holy Mountain definitely, it's a weird, it's very, very close, but I'll maybe stick Network as my number one with a very, very, very close Holy Mountain, like right up its ass.
Indeed, just right up behind it, being like, oi!
Occasionally getting ahead of it, depending what mood I'm in.
Indeed. So there we go. I think that's us settled on that then now, John. So that is two awards for Kevin's best movie is Halloween and for John's best movie, Network. Congratulations to John Carpenter and Sidney Lumet for this great accolade that they have earned. And now for what's the opposite of an accolade, John? I don't know. Oh. Admonishment? Let's say admonishment.
Yeah, that would work.
Now for the admonishment part of the show. I pretty much settled on immediately the one I knew. Now, I had some other ones that I'm just going to refer to my master list and complain about for a second.
Yeah, that's fair.
Because, again, John Carpenter got an award just now for Halloween. And I feel like he does kind of deserve another one for, I mean, he's got two movies that he kind of could get one for. I don't think I'm going to give him one either, but I'm going to mention them. John Carpenter's Vampires, which is atrocious, and terrible. John Carpenter's Ghosts of Mars, which might be more atrocious than Vampires.
Which I'm actually surprised you're just putting in as a kind of one dimension.
Yeah,
isn't your number one worst? Because
I'm just mentioning them because the worst one.
Well,
the worst experience I had two really bad experiences watching films.
Yeah.
One was Transformers because it went on forever and Michael Bay sucks. Now, this is the Michael Bay Transformers, not the cartoon one, which is not necessarily a wonderful film, but it affected me at least in my childhood, whereas this Michael Bay's Transformers is a boring trash fire in which actors who are talented give terrible performances consistently and say awful dialogue that was written by I assume Michael Bay in the lift on the way up to his office to like hand in the movie, and he was like, wait, hold on, script, and then he had to go back and get everyone to shoot their lines real quick in between the CG shit that movie was, and it was absolutely god awful and it went on forever and there was no point to it. But my most hated movie, again, I feel like I should have to, and I'm going to mention The Happening as well, because it's terrible, too.
It's hard to get through The Happening.
It was so bad, and The Bride starring Sting, which was awful. John, it was terrible.
I mean, it was so bad it got an episode all to itself.
Yeah. But my worst movie is probably Uwe Boll's House of the Dead, because it was a fucking diuretic shit show of a movie.
Yeah.
It was gutter trash of the highest order. It was the one movie that mostly displayed pure filmmaking incompetence while still being a film somehow. I mean, that was the film where I just couldn't stop watching the extras, and not because I was deliberately looking, but because they were wandering through the scenes, staring directly into the camera half the time, and looking lost when they were supposed to be aggressive fighting zombies.
Yeah.
And they were just wandering around aimlessly. The plot was terrible. It had Jürgen Prochnow in it, who I think is a great actor when he wants to be. He did not want to be. No, he did not want to be. He did not want to be in that particular movie. Was it Clint Howard? What's his name?
Clint, I think, yeah.
Yeah, well, is it... anyway, he was awful. Everyone was awful. It was awful.
The script was terrible. The lighting was terrible. The pacing was terrible.
Effects seemed deliberately bad, but I don't think they were. It had shots from the game in it for no reason. During firefights, you would just have bits of the game, zombies being shot, and then actual zombies being shot in the film. And it just sort of... And again, John, big problem for a film called House of the Dead. There was no house.
See,
there was a mission that they spent very little time in.
Yep.
It should have been called Island of the Runny Confused People.
Island of the Extras.
Island of the Confused Extras is what it should have been called, but it wasn't.
And then it would have been a masterpiece. But it's so deep.
Yeah, so I'm just going to say congratulations to Uwe Boll for my Kevin's worst movie I had to watch this year. And I say had to. We did this out of choice, believe it or not.
I know.
But
I know, the sad thing is there was other things we could have picked for that. Like, even when I think back to it, we could have just picked Tomb Raider, as crap as all those Tomb Raider movies are, at least it would have been a better experience than sitting through it.
We could have picked the second Angelina Jolie Tomb Raider movie, and it would have been better than House of the Dead.
It is terrible, and we've covered... We have covered a lot of terrible ones, but most of them kind of fall into the category of, like, forgettable. Like, the Grave Dancers, I can't even remember it. You know?
Yeah.
I think for this award, it has to be something, like, really memorable. Like, for you, that Uwe Boll one, you know, I'm not going to defend it at all.
It was painful.
I'm actually shocked that you didn't pick Ghost of Mars. Do-do-do-do-do-do, John Carpenter. Because
it was tough. It was tough. Yeah. I didn't want to rag on John Carpenter too bad. And also, I feel like the incompetence on display in House of the Dead really pushes it over the line.
Although I will remind you, easily. Ghost of Mars was the one that when we were recording talking about that, you broke down and went, I can't talk about this movie anymore.
I had to stop, and you kept bringing it up again.
Yep.
You kept bringing it up again later, and that was cruel of you. I don't want to talk about Ghost of Mars anymore now either. Maybe that's why I secretly didn't pick it.
Yeah, could be.
But House of the Dead fucking sucks.
I mean, we've got terrible ones like Project Metal Beast there. You know,
it was incompetently made, I guess, as well. But
you can kind of enjoy it as well.
Yeah.
Like, there's an element of like that Mystery Science Theater type thing where you can, if you're in the right mood, you can sit and make fun of it.
Easily.
Yeah, there's a lot there. But I think for me, you'd have to pick one that you mentioned. And it got it, as I said, it got its own episode, mainly because of schedule difficulties at the time. But
Our greatest mistake, John.
It was, And the only reason we watched this, we thought it was about a killer bride, but apparently it wasn't. It was about Sting running about with the Bride of Frankenstein, who was just basically an attractive woman with the mind of a child, essentially.
Or something.
Or something. And I don't know. This movie, I think because of the length of it as well, I got so fucking angry. Me and my wife were watching it. And I actually told her, "You can leave. I have to get to the end of this." But she, God love her, she stood by me and she watched it, and the two of us complained and were raging, and every scene was like torture. It was like being on a rack or being in an Iron Maiden. It was absolutely woeful.
On forever. I had so much hope. I think the worst thing about it was at the beginning they prime you with a lot of hope.
Yeah.
Because you've got Clancy Brown there playing the monster who I love. You've got Quentin Crisp sitting there with his pink hair, and you're like, that's inappropriate for the wardrobe or makeup department to have missed, but I like that they missed it, and I hope that's how this film goes on. And you've also got Timothy Spall running around as well in this. Now, that's just the first scene, and then they all get annihilated.
Yeah.
They're just gone from the... I don't remember if Timothy Spall falls off the building for some reason, I don't know, like maybe 80 to 90 seconds in, and he's gone.
Yeah.
Quentin Crisp just disappears, as far as I recall. The place blows up, and I guess we assume he was killed in the experiment explosion right at the beginning of the film. He's not in it. And then we just have over 2 hours of meandering waffle that could have been, like, when you boil it down to, even if you just boil down the dialogue.
Yeah.
And took out all the long, pointless periods of nothing and silence, you probably boil that down to about 80, 70 minutes, maybe.
I mean, we even alluded to the fact that, like, that it almost seems like some kind of tax dodge or something. Like, this movie was made just so they could launder money or something. Like, there's something.
It was an excuse. Somebody had a whole load of money and they had to explain where it came from. So they invented a film to be like, oh, all the money came from this movie. We made all this money from this movie that I could fucking almost guarantee nobody went to see. Because, oh my gosh, it was so tedious.
Yeah, and maybe like you could say that I'm picking the kind of easy choice because as I keep saying, this movie got its own episode.
Yeah.
In which we kind of ran it down and things like that. Yep. But I don't know. It's the one that I remember outright being so angry about. And because it's so long. Like, things like the outing or the lamp or La Lamp or whatever you call it really annoyed me as well because it was so bad. But it kind of... It's in that wheelhouse with House of the Dead as well because...
Yeah. It's incompetently
made. You know, they kind of pissed me off, but at the same time, there was enough there that... Because I watched these with my wife, and we kind of would just sit there and make fun of them.
Yeah.
So it kind of takes the sting off. But with The Bride...
The sting is very present.
And
the sting is quite literally there in your face for... a chunk of that film, and it is horrible because he's never been a good actor, and he continues to not be a good actor to this day.
Yep,
I saw him recently in. There's a show that I actually came to quite like called Only Murders in the Building with Martin Short and Steve Martin and Selena Gomez in it.
Okay,
and Sting. Features in it playing himself at one point. It's a cameo basically, but he has way too many lines, and I was watching that and I was like, wow, he hasn't learned anything about acting since The Bride, has he? And he has very little say. We watched him in Dune recently, David Lynch's Dune, and he has mercifully has very little to say in that film, but when he does, it is still like, you're like, oh no, it's Sting, that's right. And he is bad in that. I mean, he's just a bad actor. And I don't want to just sit here and rag on him, but I have no choice. He's left me with no option.
You brought this on yourself, Sting.
Yeah, he's fine. He's rich and all kinds of stuff, and he's a good bass player. Like, I'll give him that. He can play the bass like a motherfucker, but, you know, I don't like his... I'm going to go on and review his entire musical career here. I'm not going to do that. But he's a bad actor. And The Bride, John, I respect your choice. And I respect it hard.
Same with yours. Yeah. Like, yeah. It, to know, House of the Dead, I even forgot its name there. House of the Dead is a struggle.
You know why you forgot it? Because it doesn't make any sense, because there's no fucking house. I know. That's why you forgot it.
Wait, what's in that movie? There's a boat, there's an island, there's like an underground lab even. Would you call
that
a lab?
Pirate-ish. I don't know if you'd call it a lab. There's a table with some glowing things. I don't know. It's a fucking shit show.
Yeah.
Like, I'm surprised. I'm sure if I went back and watched it again, which I won't, I'm sure the entire scenery would be wobbling like a friggin', like a bad 80s soap opera.
Yeah.
But I don't want to ever see it again. I've seen it twice now. That's the second time I saw it, and I think it'll be the final time. so I will never, ever... For some reason, at some point, I decided I had to watch all the video game movies.
Why would you do that to yourself? Games.
Because I just wanted to see them all, because I was in such a place where I was like, they can't all be just trash. And I guess, and then we decided that episode, of course, Mortal Kombat is still kind of a wonderful experience.
Yeah.
If you're open to it, Mortal Kombat can
trash.
Be enjoyed.
It is trash.
But... Oh, yeah. But it can be enjoyed, and it can be thoroughly enjoyed if you want to, mostly thanks to Christopher Lambert, because he's friggin' brilliant. But no. Yeah, so it turned out that was the only one that was even vaguely watchable. Doom was not very good either. There's a whole list. And basically, if it's a video game movie, don't watch it.
Yeah.
But especially don't watch House of the Dead. So congratulations to Uwe Boll, and congratulations to whoever it was that directed The Bride, because I've completely forgotten him. I'm going to look him up now so we can shame him. How long?
It's probably like, what's that? There's like a fake name that directors put.
That's Smitty.
Yes.
What's that one? I can't remember the first name. But it was directed by Frank with a C. Frank Rodham.
Right.
Who... And I hate to do this. I'm just going to have a wee look and see. He also did Quadrophenia, which I don't like.
Which also had Sting in it.
Yeah.
He's a big Sting
did.
Fan.
He must be. I don't think I've seen any of his other films. And I won't.
Yeah.
I won't see them.
Alan Smithy is the pseudonym.
Alan Smithy, that's it. Yep. Yeah. It wasn't one of those. There's a bunch of films that maybe... I'm always surprised there's not more of those.
Yeah.
There's only a few. I've heard of a few of people trying to do it and failing or thinking about it. Like Alien 3 was nearly an Alan Smitty. Which, and you can see why.
Yeah.
When you watch that, I mean, it was a goddamn shit show. I'm just going to talk about all these movies that were wastes of...
There's a lot of people say Alien 3 is the best one. Because they've recently had head trauma.
They've been in accidents and were very sad. I mean, it was David Fincher's first feature film, and he basically was bullied by the producers the entire time into making a bad movie. He has subsequently made up for it in Buckets with the excellent filmography that he has put behind him now.
Yeah,
I think he's a fantastic director. One of my favorites, but Alien 3 was awful. Still better than The Bride, I'm going to say. I would rather watch Alien 3. Easily, I would watch Alien 3 before I would watch The Bride.
Oh, big time.
No problem. So, congratulations, Frank. And congratulations, Uwe. I think that's all we have time for this week. We have given out our awards.
Yep.
I feel good. Do you feel good about your choices, John?
Oh, definitely, yeah.
I feel good about my choices, too. Thank you, John Carpenter, for everything he's done for us. Should we just call these awards the Carpenters?
Yeah, we might as well.
Is that too confusing? Is that too confusing because of the band and the family?
We already have our like our music for it as well.
We do,
just put
yes.
that on a loop. As
yeah. No, I wouldn't do that to people, but it will definitely come up at least. It's probably already come up, to be honest. So, congratulations on your Carpenters, John Carpenter.
Yes.
And congratulations... on your Carpenters, so you went for Sidney Lumet for Network, and John Carpenter for Halloween, and Uwe Boll for Worst Movie for House of the Dead, and Frank Rodham for John's Worst Movie, The Bride. We are on Twitter, we are at 7 Day Apocalypse, that's at numeral 7 Day Apocalypse. You can email us on filmcast@thisweeksapocalypse.com, that's filmcast@thisweeksapocalypse.com. thisweekapocalypse.com. We're also putting stuff on YouTube, blah, blah, blah. You can find us there. This Week's Apocalypse. Shouldn't be too hard to find, I hope. All right. And I guess, again, that's the end of our very special New Year's episode.
Yeah.
So join us next week when we might rob a bank. Bye!
Bye!